Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, the only program in Australia to feature the life and time stories of older Australians. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and this is part one of a three-part program featuring the story of 68-year-old Shirley Howard. Shirley has a remarkable story to tell, and as she shares it with us, we cannot help but to be touched by her bravery and admire her for telling it, as it reminds us of some of the not-so-nice social norms of Australia post-World War II, and it is very topical in terms of us still having to deal with women being assaulted. However, her story is rich in its breadth, and in part one, we start at the beginning and follow her life from her early childhood through to her teens, when she was sexually assaulted and as a result of that had a baby which she was forced to give up. There's so much to her story, including meeting Tex, a young career soldier, and getting engaged to him. So let's make a start. First of all, Shirley, thank you very much for inviting me into your home. Could we start off by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
I was born the 26th of May 1951 in Melbourne, and my parents come from Eltham. So I was taken back home to Eltham from the hospital, and I don't know how I survived it all.
Why is that?
Well, it's very, very rugged out there in them days.
Of course. Yeah, of course. But
my father was a returned POW from Germany.
Right.
And a very rugged man, although a very, very small man, but he was very rugged in his ways.
What sort of person was your mum?
Oh, very pure.
What do you mean by the pure?
She was such a good cook. She never drank or smoked. She was just a pure type of woman, and her four sisters were too.
Right.
And very, very, yeah, very nice woman, very good cook out there. Not much loving went on, but she was there all the time.
Right. Yeah. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had two elder brothers and a sister.
Were you the youngest then?
Yes.
Did that help?
No.
What was the family home like? You mentioned it was pretty rural out there in those days.
Well, it was a weatherboard home.
Right.
My uncle built it from next door, Uncle Norman, and that was Dad's sister's husband. And it was quite warm. We had the open fire and the wood stove in the kitchen for many years.
You mentioned when I first met you that you had relatives that were quite early pioneers out in the southeast area.
That's correct.
Whereabouts were they located?
Well, that was my mum's side of the family, and she used to go up there to Wandon. She was born in 1914, so by the time she was 10 or 12, they used to go up there in the 30s and play with the gladiolas and all this and that out there, and apparently the Johnson started the Wandon gladiola farm.
So her parents were early settlers out there?
Yeah, Pa and Rose, yes.
So they really left an imprint in that area as early settlers, yes.
That was, Pa's brother stayed on with the gladiolas, but Pa separated and went to Bendigo in the gold rush,
right.
And that's where my mother and us, all four sisters, were born.
Right. Did he ever find any gold, you know?
Yes, he did.
He did?
Yes, he did. I don't know what time it was, but he was born in 1885, so he must have been something like 1910 or something. Mum was born in 1914, so it was after that, maybe 1915, 1920, when they came back to Melbourne, and I believe that he found a nugget, and he built a big home out at Northcote.
Good for
him. That was the only way you could have built a big home at Northcote and Elm Street in them days.
Especially that period, because that was either in or just about to go into the Great Depression years.
Yes.
So
yes, just before that possibility, yes.
Very timely find.
very tiny farm.
What about you as a young girl in your area? What was it fairly rural out there? Did you wander a lot?
Eltham, yes, I did. Yes, I had playmates everywhere. I've seen a lot of things go on out there.
Well, kids these days, they tend to be focused on screens, whether they're big or little. But your life would have been different as a young girl, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. I used to walk 3 miles to school. And if I didn't save my threepence to get back home, I had to walk back home again.
Oops.
No money for the bus.
No money for the bus. And was that a matter of lollies or bus? Was that a,
That's
was
right.
That, yeah. I bet the lollies won sometimes. What was school like?
Our school was good. Yeah, we used to dance and we used to have lots of sport and the maypole. Everything was good.
Yeah.
Except for when I used to laugh too much and Miss Higgins used to give me, "I will not laugh" in class. I had to write it 400 times.
Oh, what a meanie. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, my laughter got me in trouble a lot with dusters, chalk from the teachers. Oh, man.
Well, they were good years by the sound of it as a kid.
Oh, yeah, it was happy years.
Right. And you mentioned you had a large group of friends. What were some of the things you did together?
Well, you'd go home them days and you'd probably go out in the garden and or go over the back fence. I used to jump the back fence, which was barbed wire, go over the train line, over another fence and over the Diamond Creek.
Wow.
And we would build tea tree houses or cubby houses out of trees and all that sort of thing in them days.
Very healthy lifestyle.
Oh, you're always outside, yes.
And Mum and Dad didn't have to worry, did they, in those days?
No, they didn't worry. And one of my playmates come from research, so we used to walk up to her place to research and back on a Saturday, and then she'd stay at my place one Saturday and then I'd stay at hers. So we were always walking around on the weekend as well.
Yeah.
No, never worried us.
Now, you mentioned you were born in 1952, is that correct?
1951.
So even as a young child, television would have just about been starting.
About 11 years old I was.
So going back a bit before that then, were you ever a radio fan? Did you ever listen
to radio? Oh, yes. Yes, you had to be.
Had to be. What did you have shows as a kid that you really liked?
Well, there were spelling bees. There was all sorts of things. And, it was just... And Dad was a gambler, so he would listen to the races.
Of course.
And you'd listen to the great big radio thing, you know, everybody had the big radio. And you just sit around and listen to the radio and play cards or...
It really was the centre of family entertainment, wasn't it, the radio?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So at around 11 years of age, your family got their first television.
That's right.
What do you remember about that moment?
Well, it was all black and white text and it was just like amazing.
It was.
Everybody sat around watching the box.
Can you remember now any shows as a kid that you liked on television?
Oh, yeah, Happy Hammond, the Tarak Show.
Well, it doesn't matter whether you're singing that at 25 past 6 or 5 to 6 like it was in the olden days. It still sounds just the same.
And it still means the same thing. Doesn't
That's very
it,
true. So we hope you've all had a very, very happy time. And we'll be back tomorrow at the same time on HSV Channel 7 at 4:30, remember?
Boys and girls must thank them very much,
yes,
and the mums and dads. They all got here, all plenty of time. Thank you very much for doing that for us first night.
Very, very good. So we'll be back tomorrow, don't forget, 4:30 with a happy show on HSV 7.
Good night, then. Happy. Good night, boys and girls.
Good night to you, Olivia.
Bye-bye.
And good night to Big John.
Good night,
Happy. I'll say goodnight to you all now, and here's Funny Face with all the goodies.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy. Thank you.
And there was King Corky, and my mum and her four sisters went on to It Could Be You once with Tommy Hanlon in the midday show.
That must have caused great excitement in the family.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about Saturday afternoon? Did you ever go to the movies?
Yeah, we had a picture theatre at Eltham, and I would get 4 shillings for my chores at home. And because I had to work all morning, and then my playmate Nolene and I would go down the movies, the Eltham Theatre, and watch the afternoon what was ever on there. Spend our 4 shillings.
Of course.
A hamburger and a bottle of Coke, and that would get you into the movies, and bag of lollies and all sorts of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So there's never a worry. Mum knew I was at the movies in the afternoon at the matinee. It was never a... And no. My parents never had cars either. Didn't have a car at all.
Right.
All telephone. No, we never had a telephone until I was about 18.
That must have been a big moment then.
Well, we didn't have to worry about
it. Never didn't have to worry about it.
No.
It was fairly innocent years, weren't they, really?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't insecure, or my playmates weren't insecure either, because you always knew Mum was there or Dad was home on the weekends. He wasn't working. So you just knew that Mum and Dad were home.
Yeah.
So you could go home when you wanted to, or you stayed out longer.
A lot of people from those periods remember their parents never locking doors and things like this, do you?
No, but we used to leave our front door, back door open, and yeah.
Something you couldn't do today?
No.
No. At the end of primary school, did you go to secondary school?
Yeah, I went to Eltham High.
Right. Was that as enjoyable as primary school?
Bit more study, more work.
Bit more serious.
Yes.
How far did you go?
I only took third form.
Third form? And what happened then?
Oh, well, my dad was 51 when I was born, roughly, so he was retiring.
Right.
And Mum wasn't a worker, of course. She was 14 years younger than Dad, but she never worked ever. So they were both at home. And Dad went on to the pension, for being in the war and all that.
Of course.
So
you had to work?
Yeah, well, my sister had to go to work at 14. She got herself a job with PMG in them days. And then I went to work.
And this is Listen to Older Voices. Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Shirley Howard. And Shirley is recollecting her early years leading up to her first job.
Yeah, so...
What was your first job?
I used to make 8 dresses a day when I was taught properly by Saba Fashion House.
Right.
Yeah, Flinders Lane.
Was that enjoyable or was it just a job that you...
It was just a job because... I used to make my mother aprons and dresses and all this sort of thing on the weekend when I was younger, and on the treadle machine on the back veranda. I'd make her aprons and all this sort of fancy dresses and stuff, and I knew how to sew. But when I got to the factory where I started at Cyber Fashions, well, like school, they were motorised and they go fast, 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 these machines. You didn't have to... go slow like with treadling.
Yes. Did you stay in that job very long?
No.
Was that because you found a better job or you got sick of doing that job?
No. Here we go. This is really... I was raped when I was 2 weeks off 16 by a boy that used to send me love letters and all that before I left school. Anyway, I used to write to him and tell him things, and he, I don't know, in them days we didn't have the phone, I remember.
Mm.
And he didn't have a phone either, this young man, so we must have been writing all the time. And he found out where I was working and all that, so he came one morning and before I got into work at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then he coached me into Melbourne, and Mum said, "No, you're not going." And I said, "Well, it's Sunday, I can go on my weekly train there. It's not going to cost me anything." And I don't know, she must have read my love letters maybe from this boy. He's only 17. Anyway, he coached me into his upstairs, this is a Sunday afternoon, into the legal building in Latrobe Street where the courts are. And he had keys on a Sunday, a 17-year-old. So we got up there in his office because he wanted to show me where it was. I didn't think anything of it. And then that's where it happened. So I left that job because I was pregnant, and then Mum put me into Berry Street Baby's Home when I was about 4 months pregnant. And then everything fell apart because I'd been abandoned, and that was bad. I didn't see my family for 5 months.
That must have been absolutely traumatic for you.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. I mean, it was bad enough what had happened to you, but to feel your family's just left you alone as well.
That's right. And yeah. Mum passed over $2 note to the matron behind the desk. She had me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. We got the first train out of Eltham with my little case. And then she took me in this big coat she'd bought me or something. And then she just left me there with the matron and the nurses and that at Berry Street Baby's Home and 7 other girls. It was only a small one. Some of the other larger Catholic ones had about 500 girls in them in Melbourne. But I was lucky, I suppose. I went to one where there was only 7 girls. So I stayed there until the baby was born.
There was quite a stigma in those days, wasn't there, about unmarried mothers?
My mother didn't know any better, I don't think.
No. I mean, that's something that we can see today that has changed dramatically, that girls these days don't have to face those sorts of same things.
It wasn't that I went out to get pregnant. I just went to meet this boy I'd known for 2 or 3 years already, and he lured me up into his office. Where he worked, as a clerk,
So it must have been a period there where it was really a lot of dark gloom.
Oh, yes. And none of the family came to see me in hospital after the baby. It was adopted out, of course. Which is the usual, So...
Because you would have had almost no say in it, would you?
No. No, my mum stood over me and said, sign these papers. Yeah, my mum was 5'11". She stood over me and she said, sign the papers. Your baby can't become a ward of the state. I said, what's that? I don't understand that
talk. You're just a young girl.
Yeah, just a young girl. So I went from thinking of being a 16-year-old to like a 25-year-old in that time, because your whole brain goes whack. Yeah.
You basically lost those years, didn't you, in terms of the things you would have done as a normal kid?
Oh, yeah.
And as a teen.
That's right.
How did you work through it? Did you get help, or did you just have to do it yourself to get through this dark period?
Well, all the girls and I were in the same thing in this Berry Street baby's home. So we all sort of melded together, because there was one lady in there, 30, and her mother made her give up her child. Because the mother wanted her to keep her career, 30-year-old. And it's just crazy.
Yes. So you did have that support amongst all the girls?
Only that, not from my family, though.
The period must have come after the baby was adopted where you had to leave.
Yes, I had to leave the hospital without the baby. Yes.
Never saw the baby. Where did you go?
Well, what happened is the hospital organised, because you only used to get $3 a fortnight, I think, Social Security money in them days. And then the hospital had organised me to go home in a taxi, because I wasn't well at all.
Sure.
So all the way out to Eltham in a taxi in my little case again. I arrived home at dinner time, and there was a seat for me when I walked in. Nobody said nothing to me. Nobody welcomed me home. And I just sat there and ate my meal and went to bed. And that was on a Friday. And then on the Monday, my mother had me back in town looking for work. Very hard sort of woman,
A life lesson that you probably would not like to have learnt if you had a choice.
No. I just thought I was meeting this boy. We had a cappuccino, and then I didn't expect him to have keys and lure me up there to where he was on a sub day.
Yeah, you were innocent, you were trusting.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And yet, really, at the end of the day, you were almost blamed like you... It was your fault.
That's right. Oh, yes. That was, Mum chased me around the kitchen table when I told her. I had to tell her in the end. And, she wasn't happy at all, I can tell you. And,
We often talk about the good old days, and parts of them were good, but those sorts of attitudes and the way that young girls like yourself were treated, not good old days, were they?
No.
So... Again, you're carrying this burden. You must have been feeling a little bit guilty about your baby that you never saw.
That's right.
You're being forced to go into a job.
That's right.
Did you find a job that gave you any pleasure?
I ended up working at the RBA, the Reserve Bank of Australia, up in Victoria Parade.
Right.
Yeah, so that was good. So I was out of the house, I was away from Mum. But she you had to put your board money on the corner of the table every. I think it was $5 or $10 off of my wages or something. I can't remember now.
Right. Yeah. And it was that impersonal, wasn't it? You didn't even hand it to you. You just put it on a table.
You got to leave it on the corner of the table, And the same thing with my brother. He was a postman at Eltham. And my sister, she was with the PMG. And they all had to put it there, That was 1967-68.
There were a lot of things happening in the world, yet for you...
Oh, there was.
You're dealing with yourself, your mum, a job.
Yeah.
Were you aware of what else was happening around you in the greater
world? No, I didn't even know because that Harold Holt went missing. You didn't see any TV in this home. You know, I didn't even hear a radio.
So you missed all that music that was happening, these social things.
Yes,
you were dealing with this other issue.
I had to get on a tram and take myself in once a month to have my visits to the Queen Victoria Hospital.
Of course.
And then you had to get back home again, back to the Berry Street Babies home yourself.
When did you actually leave your parents' home?
Well, May, June, July. Would have been probably late July, early August. It's a very vague area.
Of the same year as the you gave birth,
yeah.
So it was only a matter of a number of months you went back home for all then. When I say home, I'm not talking about Berry home, I'm talking about your parents' home. After you left the Berry home, you went back to your parents.
Yeah, that's right. You went back to collect your things at Berry Street Baby home. But that was after the baby was born and adopted out.
Was it the reserve job, bank job that allowed you to leave your parents' home? Is that about the same time?
I started there probably February the baby was born, so probably be March, April I started at the bank, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Where did you go after you left your parents?
I didn't leave them. I stayed with them.
For how long?
I had nowhere to go. No.
So how long did you have to stay with them for before you found your independence?
Well, I had to stay with them until I saved some money up and they were just the way it was with the way Dad was, and Mum and Dad, they sort of banded together, although they were great years apart, I said 14 years apart. But as I said before, when I got home that Friday afternoon, nobody welcomed me home or anything. No. They were just all sitting at the table, they sat down and ate the meal.
Almost like you're a boarder.
That's right. Oh, yes, that's exactly right.
Mm. So was there any relief when you did eventually get to leave home? Or was there sadness?
No. I left home three times. One time I went to live in a hostel in Church Street, Richmond, where it was an all-girl hostel.
Mm-hmm.
Then my mother rang up the bank and crying on the phone, and then where I worked at the bank, we had a therapist there. And I was called into the therapist. They said, your mum's been ringing up crying. You've got to go back home and stay with your mum.
But you're almost an adult by now.
Oh, yeah, mate. I was a bit near 17, half 18. Yeah, getting there, yeah.
And you've still got people telling you what to do.
Yeah, and I've been in and had this baby, 10-pound baby, I must add, too.
Whoa.
10-pound baby.
So that wouldn't have been pleasant.
No, it wasn't, no.
No. So three times you left home. Was the third time successful?
No.
No.
I was at my girlfriend's one weekend, just around the corner, up the road, and there was all these army boys there because the boys in that family used to bring home some army boys from Broadmeadows. And anyway, what happens is, this is October by then, I said to my girlfriend, I said, who's that in that mohair jumper? She said, oh, it's one of the army boys just come up here to play with the cars or, you know, as boys do.
Mm.
And she said, do you want to meet him? She said, I don't like him. So I said, oh, yeah, I'll meet him. I'll have a chat. And we ended up married for 18 years.
Well, that's Tony.
No, that's my ex-husband.
Oh, okay.
Tony, and I've been together 27 years.
Okay, we'll come to Tony later then.
That's right.
So you met this, and so obviously there was a connection to have been.
Oh, yes, it was wonderful. He was lovely. He had a car. He was in the army. He was a Belcom boy, and regular money coming in, and I felt very comfortable.
Treated you well?
Yes, that's right.
That must have been actually quite astounding to you after all this you've been through, to have somebody treat you well.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, yeah, so we were engaged within 2 months, and then he went off to Vietnam.
Yes.
So.
Yes. They were difficult years.
He wanted to go, but he was with the intelligence corps. He didn't see any fighting or.
Right.
No.
Was he writing to you while he was
there? Every day, yes. It didn't cost anything for mail to go backwards and forwards with that sort of thing.
Where were you living while you were engaged to Tony? Were you back at home with your parents, or were you?
I was home with my parents, yeah.
Yeah.
they were quite nice to me. My sister had left home with her boyfriend, and then my brother Norman had gone and joined the army, and my older brother, who was born in 38, which is 14 years older than me, he'd gone his way too. So I was left home with mum and dad, and everything was calm and it was very nice.
So all of a sudden things changed.
Yes.
Join Shirley and I next week for part two of a story, her marriage to Tex and her life as a wife of a career soldier, always on the move, inside and outside of Australia. The pleasures, the pains of such a life, all told as by Shirley Howard next week on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.